One of the keys to America's war effort in Afghanistan is preventing civilian casualties. In May, warplanes mistakenly killed dozens of innocents in a rural village in western Afghanistan. Last summer, it happened in a different village called Azizabad. Then, an American plane fired on homes and dozens of civilians were killed. NPR's Tom Bowman paid a visit to that village to find out how people are faring nearly a year later. At a clinic, Tom met a group of young children, and he asked them if they remembered what happened that Friday night last August.
Oh. Yeah, when they dropped bomb in Azizabad, I heard. He said we couldn't sleep at night.
Did they know anybody that was killed in the explosion?
Zahir Stasis Akide. He was my cousin.
Now, as Tom reports, a small team of U.S. soldiers are struggling to win back the people's trust.
We're driving away from the clinic in a convoy with American Special Forces. The kids chase after us. We're heading south to another part of the village, a place where low mud brick walls shield one-story houses. A line of goats is trailed by a boy. A road, really just a sliver of dirt, curls into the compound. That's where Haji Abdul Rashid walks among the rubble of a house.
That's my brother's compound, the next one. And he says this was my cousin's compound.
The roof is caved in, steel girders angled into the earth amid piles of brick. Plastic wrap offers some protection from the elements as it flaps in the breeze. His brother and others were killed here when the American bombs hit. Rebuilding these homes and relations with these villagers is the mission of the American Special Forces. This team arrived 5 months after the bombs fell on Azizabad.
One split-second tactical on-the-ground call makes, you know, strategic implications, has strategic implications.
Nearly a year later, and people still talk about it, still remember it. And as we talk to the kids up there at the clinic, still are afraid of the Americans sometimes and the bombs that may come.
Right. I mean, it's you know, you have long-lasting effects from whatever happens. So that's why it's a very, very difficult job.
The captain is just 28, a West Point graduate, a military brat who trailed his soldier father around the world. And for the past 5 months, the captain has worked among the survivors, meeting with tribal elders for countless cups of chai tea, listening to their complaints and their needs. For security reasons, he asked that his name not be used. Here are some of the kinds of stories the captain hears. Haji Rashid tells us that 10 days after the bombing last summer, the top American commander in Afghanistan, General David McKiernan, came here to apologize. Along with him, Afghan President Hamid Karzai. The village received payments for the people who had been killed and injured as well. Rashid says he forgives the military for what happened. But he can't forget what he lost.
My brother, sons, and kids, they were here in this compound. Sometimes we were coming here. We had tea. We were sitting together. We were talking to each other. It's like I can never forget those moments we had together.
Haji Rashid says there's still a debt to be paid. The Green Beret captain listens while Rashid talks. What happened in this village last summer tightened the rules about the use of airstrikes. They should only be used in life or death situations. So far, this captain has been lucky.
I've never, since I've been here, used close air support with, you know, ordnance. But I've never been in a situation where I've needed to.
These new rules were not followed to the letter during last month's firefight in Farah province that killed dozens of civilians, an American military investigation found. The bombing here at Azizabad last summer led to another change. President Karzai halted all U.S. military operations in the area for a time, say these soldiers. That decision allowed the Taliban to regroup and move into the void. Coalition forces call them anti-Afghan forces, or AAF.
A normal elder can't repel an AAF person because they don't have guns, they don't want to start a war, they don't want their families killed. So if there is no legitimate presence in an area, they can move in and do whatever they want.
Among those moving in was a man named Mullah Karim, a top Taliban operative and experienced bomb maker. The Green Berets tell us he's responsible for a bomb we heard tear through the air one night, injuring 7 policemen, 2 of them seriously. To be able to defeat and kill enemies like the Taliban bomb maker, These special forces troops say they must first win the confidence of the villagers back, especially after what happened here last summer. Part of that effort by these soldiers includes rebuilding a mosque, a school, and that clinic where we met the children.
You don't watch action movies that have, you know, Green Berets doing civil affairs, humanitarian assistance, shuras. But again, this is what works, and this is the long term, and this is what Afghanistan needs.
Fighting among civilians, winning a counterinsurgency takes a particular patience, these soldiers say, and a willingness to make sure your weapons are precise, helping the people, killing only the enemy. Those who fight here recall the words of an officer from another era, T.E. Lawrence, the British colonel who organized the Arabs against the Turks during World War I. The ideal weapon is the knife, Lawrence wrote. The worst is the airplane. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Azizabad, Afghanistan.